So today's worship service is all about how something small can become something very big. In Ezekiel, which we saw as a pre-K and kindergarten class showed us, a little sprig, the smallest bit of green growth that came off of a lofty or really tall cedar tree. It gets planted on a high mountain where it grows so many branches, and it becomes a noble cedar under which every kind of winged bird lives. I don't know about you, but to me, this story makes a lot of sense. This becomes a big tree. Okay. Kind of like if you look at PJ. Is PJ in the room? Is PJ's dad Joe in the room? No. Well, if PJ were to stand next to his dad Joe, you'd look at them and say, okay, I can pretty much predict what is going to happen several years down the road. On my day off on Friday, I went rollerblading down the Hudson River in New York City. The weather was perfect. It was one of those wonderful beginning of summer days. And poking along the banks of the river, I saw gaggles of geese. And tagging along with them were young goslings, fluffy with downy feathers that had not fully fanned out yet. I imagine it will only take until the end of the summer before those goslings stand as tall as the geese that are adults. And I can see that their colors are already changing from the soft, yellowy down of a gosling to those mature brown feathers. So you see, it is easy to predict that some things that start out small can become quite big. So when Jesus tells the parable of the tiniest of seeds, a mustard seed, I'm going to pass some of those mustard seeds around. They're so small, you'll have to pass them very carefully. When sown into the ground, will become the greatest of all shrubs. At first glance, it seems like the same sort of thing. What is small will become big. But there's a catch. Jesus describes the mustard seed as the smallest of all the seeds on earth. But I know that's not quite true. I see the gardener nodding her head. Even I can think of smaller seeds, and I'm not much of a gardener. The orchid flower makes a seed that is smaller than a mustard seed. And at breakfast, I had a bagel. Can you see what kind of seeds are on this bagel? Poppy seeds. Poppy seeds are smaller than mustard seeds. Was Jesus lying, or did he just not know? Well, I don't think we need to be hard on Jesus, yeah? You had a good, you know, and that's what some of the biblical commentators said. Aidan was saying, I don't think that they had seeds like poppy seeds in the Middle East during Jesus' time. And indeed, you did some great biblical scholarship in asking that question, because some commentators actually said the same thing. They said maybe in the time where Jesus lived, mustard seeds were the smallest seeds around. So maybe that's true. I also think Jesus was pointing out that sometimes things seem small, so small that everything else around seems so much bigger. Kind of like when you look at the sky at night and you see that the stars just go on and on and on, and you know because you studied from science that there are more stars than the sand at the beach, and that those stars, even though they look small from far away, they're actually very, very huge. And it can make you feel really small in comparison to how big the galaxies are. But Jesus was also letting us know that something small can be quite powerful. I'm going to pass around a sampling There are some sourdough pretzels. Lily, will you be like an usher and pass the basket around to people? And there's mustard. So if you want to, I invite you to dip a pretzel in the mustard. Even if you don't like mustard, try giving it a try. I always thought that I didn't like mustard because my older sister Alice told me that she didn't like mustard. And she liked to figure things out before me because she was older, and she liked to tell me how the world worked. So I grew up thinking that I didn't like mustard either. But something funny happened when I was pregnant with Kai. I tried mustard and realized that I really like mustard. It has a bitter and tart, sweet, spicy, and tangy taste all at the same time, and the taste to me has power. Mustard's power does not come only from its taste. It also has medicinal properties. Pliny the Elder, a Roman philosopher who lived at the same time as Jesus, stated that mustard cures snake and scorpion bites, toothache, indigestion, asthma, epilepsy, constipation, dropsy, lethargy, tetanus, leprous sores, and other illnesses. Please do not take my sermon as medical advice. So, we can see how something small can be quite powerful, powerful in taste and powerful in healing. But big? Have you ever seen a mustard plant? We don't really see them growing around. We don't have them in our church garden, I don't think. Jesus describes it as the greatest of shrubs, with large branches into which the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. It is as if the little mustard seed Jesus describes could become like the tall, noble cedar that Ryan acted out when Leo was reading the Ezekiel passage. Well, I have a bit of a mustard plant right here. How many birds do you think could live in this plant? One, maybe. Maybe at best. 100 is what Ryan thinks. Ryan has a real spiritual vision in what he can imagine, because most of us can see, a million tiny birds? Wow. See, this is why we need children to teach us, because they help us imagine beyond what we see as ordinarily possible. So unless I'm missing something, mustard plants are hardly big or strong enough to even hold a nest. There is no earthly way that could happen unless you've got the mind of a child, or maybe unless you have the mind of Christ. Here's a point when we need to remember that Jesus is not talking about ordinary things. Or more correctly, he is talking about ordinary things to tell us about how extraordinary God is. And God can take ordinary things and make them extraordinary. So the kingdom of God is like a little seed that becomes a great big shrub that isn't really like a shrub at all, but like the tallest, noblest cedar. What other ordinary things does God make extraordinary? Well, over here, we see where water, which is ordinary, everyday liquid that we drink, we clean with, we wash with. Yeah, Ryan? You can wash your clothes with it. But in church, we see how that water becomes extraordinary. And it becomes a sign of how God's love is always with us. And then we don't have the communion elements right here right now, but this is a communion table. And on this table, we see how bread and juice, which are ordinary things, most of you have bread every day, but when we bless them in church, they become extraordinary, and they remind us of how Jesus' body is with us. And we can remember. You all know that our Sunday school children will grow big, right? Some of you children may have even grown taller during this very long worship service. But sometimes you might wonder if you will become extraordinary. Sometimes, in fact, you may even feel quite small. But when God's life takes root in you, extraordinary things can grow. We have to remember this when we look at our children. And not only the children that come into these walls, looking at children who have crossed borders to find safety in this country and get detained and separated from their parents. We must remember that they are not the smallest, most insignificant of seeds. Instead, these tiny travelers contain within them the potential of the flourishing of the kingdom of God. I want to end with another story about travelers. It is a story of stone soup. Some travelers came to a village, carrying nothing more than an empty cooking pot. Upon their arrival, the villagers were unwilling to share any of their food with the hungry travelers. Then the travelers go to a stream and fill the pot with water and drop large stones into it. Plop, plop, plop. And place it over a fire. One of the villagers becomes curious and asks what they're doing. The travelers answer that they are making stone soup, which tastes wonderful and which they would be delighted to share with the villagers, although it still needs a little bit of garnish, which they are missing to improve the flavor. The villager, who looks forward to enjoying a share of the soup, does not mind parting with a few carrots, so these are added to the soup. Another villager walks by, asking about the pot, and the travelers again mention their stone soup, which has not yet reached its full potential. The villager hands them a little seasoning. More and more villagers walk by, each adding another ingredient. Finally, the stone, which is inedible, is removed from the pot, and what's left behind is a delicious and nourishing pot of soup that is enjoyed by travelers and villagers alike. So what started out as a tiny, insignificant thing that couldn't do much, a stone, became something delicious that could have been shared by all because everybody added something to it. By God's power, a stone is not just a stone. A seed is not just a seed. You are not just a kid. Or whatever you stepped into this sanctuary as. In you, the kingdom of God might bloom. Have fun discovering how you might grow into that one. Amen.